All right, James chapter 3. I titled the lesson this morning, Who is a Wise Person? Now, a wise person is a man or a woman whose actions show that they have knowledge. You know, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the facts. Wisdom is the right use of that. You know, knowledge is knowing how hot the stovetop can get. Wisdom is not resting your hand on it. Knowledge is knowing that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Wisdom is to live our life coming to Christ and trusting Him and following Him. And true wisdom is seen in our actions, both what we say and what we do. And that's the subject of these verses this morning. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now the tongue can't be tamed by anybody. We looked at this last week. You know, men can tame wild animals, but no man can tame the tongue. We can't tame our tongue. The problem is not the tongue. The problem is the heart it's connected to. We can't tame the tongue because we can't change our sinful heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we can't stop that nature of sin. And that's why we can't stop our tongue from spreading evil, the evil that's in our heart. But believers also use that very same tongue to bless God, to worship God, to praise Him. And believers, now they do use that tongue to bless the Lord, but they also can get so full of themselves that we become critical of others, judgmental of others. We begin to think that we're more religious than our brethren. We're better Christians than them. So we use that same tongue to curse them. And it's not to curse them or pronounce a curse on them. It's to be critical of them, to be critical of other believers. Those are the people who've been made after the similitude of God. Those are believers who've been born again with the nature of Christ. And we use our tongue to curse them, to be critical of them. That same tongue that curses our brethren, is critical of them, blesses God. James says, that ought not so to be. Right? He doesn't say it's not. It happens, doesn't it? But he said it ought not be. Think of Michael, the archangel. The archangel. He uses his tongue to praise the Lord. He's one of those angels that cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And he dared not use that same tongue to bring a railing accusation against the devil. So a believer will say those evil things, but it ought not be. That critical attitude is in our heart, but it ought not be. And those critical words ought not be on the tongue. Have you ever heard a child say something, a four-letter word or something, you know, and you say, you kiss your mother with that mouth? That's what James is saying here. You use that tongue, that same mouth to praise the Lord? That study and contrast ought not be in a believer. And he gives us two illustrations of that. The first one in verse 11 is a fountain. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Now, a fountain's one or the other. It's either salt water or fresh water. It's either sweet water or bitter water. Both do not come from the same fountain. Two different kinds of water can't come from the same fountain because of the source of the water, the nature of the fountain. So both blessing and cursing ought not come from the same person who believes Christ. The second example he uses is a fruit tree, fig tree, verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You know, the fig tree is going to bear figs. It's never going to bear olives. It's impossible for the fig tree to bear olives because of the nature of the tree. It can only produce after its kind. Now, the problem a believer has is this. We do have two opposite natures in us. We don't just have one. We've got two opposite natures in us. We've got a sin nature that can only produce bitter water. That can only produce bitter fruit, deadly fruit. But the believer's also been given a holy nature in the new birth. And that nature can only produce sweet water. It can only produce sweet fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's impossible for it to produce any other kind. So the believer both can and does produce both salt water and fresh water, sweet water and bitter water from the same mouth. Because that one mouth is tied to two different natures, a sin nature and a holy nature. And when we curse others and we are critical of them, you know what we're doing? We're just spewing forth bitter water that comes from our sin nature. And when we worship God and we praise God, we're sending out sweet water. That's the mouth speaking out of the abundance of the new heart. So the wise man, the wise woman, lives following Christ and controlling that tongue. Now, we won't do it perfectly. We can never do anything perfectly in this body of sin. But you'll recognize them. The general tenor of their life is to follow Christ. The general tenor of their life is to demonstrate wisdom by talking about the things of Christ. Wisdom is living like you really do believe what you say you believe. That's wisdom. Wisdom is demonstrating that what you say you believe affects your everyday life. In verse 13, James tells us, now here's how wisdom is put on display. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, who among you is wise? Well, all of us would like to think that's us, but all of us would like to think, I'm a wise man. I'm a wise woman. I've been around long enough to have learned something. All right, that's fine if you claim to have that kind of wisdom. Well, if somebody claims to have that wisdom, James says, let him show it by his conversation. Let him show it by his conduct. Wisdom is justified over children. What that means is wisdom is justified over actions, the actions that wisdom produces. Now, this must be important, our conversation, our conduct. The word conversation is used 18 times in the New Testament. So it must be important. And a person is wise if they conduct themselves with meekness. The first evidence of wisdom is what James calls here the meekness of wisdom. Matthew Henry said that meekness is a good friend to wisdom. Good friend. You always find good friends together. Wherever you find wisdom, I promise you, you're going to find his friend, meekness. And the word means mildness or humility. Meekness means to have a low opinion of self. Now let me ask you, what is more wise than to have a low opinion of self and a high opinion of God? That's wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. So a wise person will conduct himself with meekness, imitating our Savior, who was a meek man, meek and lowly. A wise person, a truly wise person, does not always have to show off his knowledge and be recognized, demand to be recognized as the best, most wise person in the room. A meek person is a wise person who will not always demand his way or his rights. And a meek person knows this. Now, this is wisdom, brethren. A meek person knows whatever God does with me is right. I have such a low opinion of myself, I don't deserve any mercies from God. A meek person is not going to be envious when somebody else is blessed instead of them. Because a truly meek person is not going to think, well, that should be me. No. A meek person will know that shouldn't be me. It should be them. That's a meek person. They have a low opinion of themselves. And they'll want others to be blessed instead of them. They'll be glad to see others are blessed because they are. And the best example I can think of is parents. Parents, unless something's wrong with them, are not jealous when their children are blessed. Not at all. We want our children to be blessed because we love them. So we're not going to be jealous of them. So James here gives us a description. Now, would you be a wise person? James gives us a description here of what a wise person does not look like. And then he gives us a description of what the wise person does look like. First, verse 14, here's what a wise man or woman does not look like. Verse 14, he says, but if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's natural, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, every religious person is not wise. You know, someone, just because they're merely religious, that doesn't make them wise. Merely knowing religious truths. Now, I'm not just talking now about false religion. I'm talking about us right here. Knowing religious truths, the truth of the scripture. Knowing those things are so doesn't make a person wise. Here's what James is saying, verse 14. If you say that God's given you this religious wisdom, and you're very public about saying, I got it, then show it. Let the rubber meet the road. Where the rubber meets the road, you show it. Here you are. You say you got all this wisdom. You never miss a service. You make sure everybody sees you. You always know when somebody's wrong on a doctrinal point. You pick it off. You recognize it. You read the scriptures publicly. You pray publicly. You teach and preach publicly. Everybody, you think this, everybody should know I got some wisdom. Look at all the responsibility. Look at me, how I am in public. But then you go home and you speak to your wife or your husband so horribly. You're just angry with them all the time. You make them walk on eggshells around you all the time. Because of your actions, because of your harsh tongue, there's never any peace in your home. Brother, let me tell you something. If that's you, you don't have wisdom. And don't be glorying in your religion and your wisdom. And don't lie and say you got something that God didn't give you. That's not wisdom. Is that so too harsh to say a man's a liar? What does the word of God say? A man who says he loves God and hates his brother is a liar. So if I say I've got wisdom, but I cause turmoil constantly in my home, I don't have any wisdom. So don't lie and say you've got wisdom from above. Your so-called wisdom is not from above. It's from Satan. That's what James says here. It's devilish. It's from Satan. True wisdom always builds peace. True wisdom always builds a solid foundation. Somebody's not walking on eggshells around you. True wisdom builds a solid foundation. And where bitterness and strife are in the heart, there's always going to be confusion. There's always going to be tumult. And strife and bitterness can't produce peace. It can't produce quietness. It's always going to produce a tumult. Now that applies to how we conduct ourselves in the home. That applies to how we treat people at work. Something's wrong with somebody who has to yell and scream and intimidate people to get them to do something at work. Something's wrong with that. Very wrong with that. Same thing applies to how you treat people in public. If the waitress hates to see you coming, she just doesn't want to wait on you, she knows you're going to be a pain in her day. Something's wrong. She ought to be happy to wait on us. That's wisdom. If everything in our life is turmoil, every relationship we have is just tumult and difficulty, it's obvious. We don't have wisdom. We don't have the wisdom to conduct our life, to manage our life, to avoid these things. Eventually, I know there's times you're going to have difficult relationships with people and things. I understand that. But if it's all the time, eventually we got to say the problem is me, not everybody else. Isn't that so? The word strife that James uses here, it means electioneering. People that are running for office, they're causing a division. Vote for me instead of this guy. I'm good, this guy's bad. I'm wise, this guy's stupid. Somebody who's electioneering is on purpose causing a division. They're causing factions. And when we do that in the church, we're trying to get a place for me instead of getting all the attention on Christ. Now, that man's a fool. That woman's a fool if that's their goal. And the same thing applies in the home. If we're trying to, it breaks my heart. I see parents do this. They compete with one another for the affection of their children. They compete with one another for who's going to have the say in the direction of the home. Brethren, that's not wise. That's not why that's causing factions in the home instead of peace in the home, unity in the home. A wise man, a wise woman don't look like that. But second here, James gives us, here's what a wise man or woman does look like. Verse 17. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, just reading those two verses, doesn't that sound sweet? I want that. That's what I want. And when you read these verses, first thing you have to see is a description of Christ our Savior. This is a description of Christ, who is wisdom. His name is wisdom. He is from above. He is God come down in human flesh. He's the God-man. And in him we see God's wisdom. God can save sinners, still be holy, still be just, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who satisfies both God and men. Then Christ is pure. He's pure God, and he's pure man. He's as much God as if he were not man, and as much man as if he were not God. Christ is pure. He's sinless. He's spotless. He's pure righteousness, pure holiness. And that's what makes him the suitable sacrifice for sin, because he had no sin of his own. He can be made sin for his people since he had no sin of his own. His pure, sinless blood makes him a suitable sacrifice. His blood can cleanse. His blood can atone. He's pure. And Christ is peaceable. He made peace with God through the blood of his cross. It's man who declared war on God. It's man who started this war. Christ came to put an end to it by making peace between God and men. And Christ is gentle. The word means mild and patient. Isn't he mild? Now, he's harsh. He's mild with the sinner. He's harsh to the self-righteous. But he's mild with his people. He's so patient with sinners. He's so patient with his erring children. The Lord Jesus was so mild that sinners, publicans and sinners, harlots, were comfortable in his presence. And the same thing's true today. Sinners are comfortable where Christ is preached. They're comfortable around him. They don't feel like they're being judged by him like they do when they're with the self-righteous, with the scribes and the Pharisees. And God forbid if they'd be uncomfortable with us because we've got that critical attitude. Sometimes that could be true, isn't it? I mean, I wish I could say that wasn't so, but it is. But never with Christ. Never where he's preached. Sinners are comfortable in his presence because he's so gentle. And he's easy to be entreated. I love this one. He's easy to be entreated. He's easily persuaded. Put him to the test. I challenge you. Put him to the test. Go beg him for mercy. Promise you he'll show it. He's easy to be entreated. He's ready to show mercy. He's more ready to show mercy than I am to beg for it. He's ready, easily entreated. He's not going to make you work for it. Just ask him for it. Just beg him for it. He's easily entreated. He'll give it. He'll give mercy because he's full of mercy. Christ is the fountain of mercy. All mercy comes from him. God can be merciful to sinners like you and me. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he stood as the substitute for his people. He took the punishment his people deserved. So in justice, God can be merciful to his people. All mercy comes from Christ. And he's full of good fruits. He's full of all the fruits of the Spirit. He's full of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. He's full of those things. Christ doesn't just have those things. He is those things. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is goodness. He is meekness. He is temperance. That's why he's full of them, because he is those things. Christ is all those fruits personified. And Christ is without partiality. That word has two meanings. Number one, it means wrangling, bargaining. Janet likes to go to these shops, consignment shops and junk shops. She can bargain with people. She just loves it. You know? But you don't come to God that way, with this wrangling, with this bargaining. No, he'll accept his people freely without making them pay a thing for it. He's free. And he doesn't discriminate. He will save any sinner without exception. Any sinner who needs him, without partiality. Christ is without hypocrisy. It means he's unfeigned. He really is who he says he is. He really is the Savior of sinners. He said, come unto me and be saved free. Come to me. And he means it. He's without hypocrisy. He's not going to do a switch on you, you know, a bait and switch. You come to him. He's without hypocrisy. He'll save you without charge. And it's Christ who sows the fruit of this righteousness in his people. He is made unto us wisdom. And because he's made unto us wisdom, this is the wise man. This is in the heart of the wise man and woman. Now, that's perfect in Christ. That's not going to be perfect in us. But you'll recognize these things in God's people. Because their wisdom is from above. You have wisdom, if you're a wise man, a wise woman, that came to you from above when you were born again in the new birth. That didn't come to you naturally. It came to you in the new birth. And wisdom is pure. Believers are pure. God's people are sinless in Christ. And they love pure grace, pure mercy, pure Christ. They love Christ alone, a pure gospel. And wisdom is peaceable. God's people are peaceable people. They enjoy peace with God. They don't strive with one another. They strive to have peace with one another. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we have peace with one another? We're part of the same family. We've got the same nature given in the new birth. We ought to be at peace with one another. And wisdom is gentle. A believer has got a mild, patient attitude and spirit. We're not going to hold our brethren's feet to the fire and make them feel judged by us. But we're going to be patient and wait for God to teach us and them. Don't think, oh, I'm just going to be patient and wait till God teaches them. No, we all got enough to learn, worry about our own selves. Wait for God to teach both us and them. Be patient. You know, we can be and must be unbending in defending the truth. Unbending. But when doing that and having that spine of steel just unbending, at the same time, you can be gentle and patient with the unbeliever. And we ought to be. We ought to be. Because we understand them. Because we've been there, right where they're at. We're just, as you're saying, we're born just like them. We ought to be patient with them, shouldn't we? We ought to be able to understand them. And wisdom is easily entreated. A wise man, a wise woman is easily persuaded. They're ready to accept somebody's explanation of what happened. They're ready to believe their explanation of something that happened and think, you know, that's not as bad as I thought. I thought they were doing this to, you know, really hurt me. Really, and they weren't. They explained it. They apologized. A wise person is easily entreated, and it's easy. They forgive easily. Have you ever had to go ask forgiveness from somebody? You think, oh, I've got to go tell them I'm sorry. And you dread it because you know what they're going to do. They're going to say, yeah, I forgive you, but boy, they're still just sticking that knife in you, you know. Or have you ever had to go ask forgiveness for somebody and you know what they're going to say before you get there? Oh, I forgive you. It's all forgiven. It's all forgotten. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Let's conduct ourselves. Pray for God to enable us to conduct ourselves with wisdom. Wisdom is full of mercy. Full of mercy. A wise person will be merciful to others. Yeah, they don't deserve it, but mercy's for people don't deserve it, isn't it? They're merciful to others because I consider God's mercy to me. What good is it going to do me to be unmerciful anyway? What good is it going to be for me to try to punish them, make them miserable so I can feel better? That's not wisdom. No, wisdom is full of mercy. And wisdom is full of good fruits. Now, every believer, without exception, every believer has all of the fruits of the Spirit, to one degree or another. Now, these things are in different degrees, but every believer has them to one degree or another. Believers genuinely love Christ. That's not fake. They love Him. They have genuine joy in hearing their sin is forgiven under His blood. Believers are long-suffering. They're patient because God's been so long-suffering with them. They're gentle with others. They're gentle with the feelings of others. I don't want to throw my weight around and get my way, not be gentle with your feelings. Believers are gentle. They have genuine faith in Christ. I don't believe Him. I don't trust Him like I wish I would. I don't believe Him. I don't trust Him like He deserves to be believed and deserves to be trusted. But God is my witness. I believe Him. All of my salvation is cast upon Him. That's genuine faith. And believers are meek. Every one of them, they're meek. They genuinely have a low opinion of themselves. That's why they need Christ. They know they need Christ. I got such a low opinion of myself. True wisdom is knowing I need Christ and running to Him, running after Him. And wisdom is without partiality. Wisdom is not going to discriminate. Now, certainly that's true racially, isn't it? We're not going to discriminate against somebody because of the color of their skin. The skin's not the problem. The heart's the problem. I don't care what color skin you got, we all got the same heart. We're not going to discriminate racially. And wisdom won't discriminate in the Word of God. We're not going to say, well, you know, I like this part of the Word of God, but I don't like this part. I like God's mercy, but I don't like His justice. Yeah. I like the blood, but I don't like election. No, we're not going to discriminate against God's Word. We're going to believe it all, just as God said it. And without partiality also means wrangling. I'm not going to go to the gospel with wrangling, trying to make a bargain with God, argue against it and try to... No, I'm just going to accept it and believe it, as God said it, without any discrimination. And then wisdom is without hypocrisy. It's unfeigned. Unfeigned. Now, we all got a public face, don't we? We just all got a public face. So how can we say, I don't have any hypocrisy? Well, you know the new man doesn't. He has no hypocrisy whatsoever. I really do believe I am totally depraved. I really believe that. I really believe that God's electing love is the only way salvation is possible. I believe that. Without hypocrisy, I believe salvation is by grace alone. It's of the Lord alone. I really do believe Christ died, and He died only for God's elect. I really believe in the irresistible call of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all of my heart. That's why I never have an altar call. Just preach the gospel. The Spirit will call you to Christ. I can't do it. Even if I did try to, it wouldn't do any good. I really believe that. I really believe that every saint will persevere to the end. Now we're going to stumble and we're going to bumble and we're going to have bad attitudes, but I believe they're going to persevere to the end because I really believe salvation's of grace. It's of God's calling grace, His electing grace, His saving grace, His keeping grace. I believe that's not just words. That's what I must have if a sinner like me is going to be saved. And then believers, they're wise. A wise man, a wise woman is a peaceable person. They have real peace. It's easy to get along with their peace. There's peace around them. They do things to promote peace. They have real peace. When the world is just in a wild storm around them, there's real peace in knowing God's in control. See, God's sovereignty is not just something that differentiates us from the Armenian. No, I have real peace in knowing God's in control. He's at the helm of this thing. And they sow peace. A wise person sows peace. They do things to promote peace. They sow it. I might not have it right now. Somebody's doing something. They may not give me peace with them right now, but I'm going to sow it. And I'll harvest it later. They sow peace. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's a wise man, a wise woman. Now, as I was studying this, I thought, I'm not near as wise as I thought I was. I don't have much wisdom. Do you go through this? Do you think that? I know that's in me. I see that wisdom's in me. I see that new nature's in me. By God's grace, I see that. That's in me. But it shames me how little I show it. It shames me how often I got those two fountains in me. And it shames me how often I show that bitter water, that salt water. I don't show that sweet water near as much as I should. You feel that way? You think, I need wisdom. I'm not wise at all. I hope so, because that would be an accurate picture of us. Well, I got some words of comfort for you, and they're close by. Look back at James chapter 1. Here's an answer to that worry. James gives it to us. Right at the head of the fountain. James 1 verse 5. Now we've seen what wisdom is. What a wise man, what a wise woman looks like. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. If I humble myself before God and beg him, come to him, trust him, I could have some wisdom, couldn't I? All right, I hope that'll be a blessing to you.